Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I believe I am live. I am. So you guys can actually call in. The call-in number, it is on the screen. It is 515-605-9778. So we got it. We got it. So let's get started. I want to get right off into this. As everybody knows that, the states are reopening. I think Georgia is fully reopened all business. The entire economy has been reopened. And here in Michigan, we've got a pressure. Now, our stay-home orders have been extended to May the 28th. As it stands right now, there's a partial reopening of certain businesses. We all know about that. The governor, and let me put this up really quick, the governor released a six-phase safe reopen plan. I believe we're somewhere around number three, and I'll blow that up just so you guys can take a good look at it. I think we're somewhere in the flattening stage or phase, where our cases are gradually declining. I think we had the other day, it was somewhere, and I didn't look at the numbers today, forgive me for that, but I think the other day we had somewhere like 55 deaths and 450 some odd new cases, which is better. It's better. It's improving. It's still not good, but it's improving. We want to get those numbers down to zero. We want to get the virus contained, and we want to get on the other side in the post-pandemic stage. So this is an important piece of information, and you guys should familiarize yourself with it. It will help keep us focused on what we are doing as a community, as a state, not just as a nation, but what we're doing particularly and specifically in this state. And anybody that's watching or may watch the video in the replay, you need to know what's going on in your state and figure out what the plan is, what your gubernatorial plans are for opening, partially reopening, or and those types of things. I hope that everybody is watching the coronavirus briefings that all of the states seem to be doing, I'm sure, as well as the briefings from the White House. Keep yourself informed that way. So anyway, this is a six-phase plan that our governor here, Governor Gretchen Whitmer has set up to keep the public abreast to her what she's doing and what her goals are. So I think that's good. In fact, I think overall, they can say what they want to say about her. I think Governor Whitmer is doing a great job. And what fills it for me is the fact that she is working to preserve life. And in that respect alone, I stand with her in the decisions that she's making. And she's not asking anybody's permission to do it. She's doing what she got to do from that perspective. And I think that is honorable. Folks are complaining, and that kind of leads me into our next topic in terms of the state reopening. People are upset. Americans like their freedom. We all know that. That is a cornerstone marker of our democracy, is our personal freedoms, our civil liberties and things like that. The problem is that freedom does not allow us to do harm to others while we're being free. That's the piece that everybody doesn't seem to get. Your freedom cannot impose or be to my detriment. And so when we have people marching and protesting and bearing arms and all of this stuff, we have to be mindful. We need to go back and read what we're fighting for. There's a such thing as zeal without knowledge. Zeal without knowledge is dangerous. And so we have an obligation to our fellow man, not just to ourselves. Our responsibility for each other if we don't have that, then we don't have civility. And if we don't have civility, we have chaos. And we cannot have a society of chaos. That is not how we live in this country. So what is happening is that a certain segment here in Michigan, and I know these protests are popping up all over the place lately. I've seen them in other states. But as it relates to Michigan, there's a certain segment of our population that thinks that this is a Southeast Michigan problem, meaning those who live in our rural areas, mainly in the Upper Peninsula of our state, don't think that they have an issue or danger to coronavirus. And since that point, I believe that some people those numbers have started to increase since they have started the protest because they're ignoring, they're putting themselves in harm's way and other people. In all of the protests, if you pay attention, most of them, I'm not going to say none of them because that's not true. Most of them are not wearing masks, they're not practicing social distancing, they're not doing anything. I don't know what's going on. I guess these folks think that they can't catch it. And so I see a call coming through. Wait a minute. No, I don't. I don't, not yet. That's just me. But I don't know what they're thinking, that they're immune to the virus, and they don't have the medical care that we have in the metropolitan urban areas. They just don't. And if those numbers take off where they live, it will be a whole problem for them. And certainly, the spread of the virus will continue, and we may end up back under full quarantine or worse. I mean, it could get down to a point of martial law. The government does have the right to force you to stay in the house for public safety. So there's a balancing act that has to happen between government rights and personal civil liberties, personal rights. So we have to think about that. And, there's a lot of things going on with those that we can talk about those protests, because there's some undercurrents going on. I hope that we don't cut off on the phone lines, but if we do, I will reboot it. But there's some undercurrent things going on that we could address with the militias and other things that we see happening, even down to who's financing those protests. There's some very interesting things going on with that. And so I don't know how to extend it, but I will. But the thing of it is that what I want to talk about is the protest in terms of the safety precautions that are being ignored in those protests, because our subject today is about whether or not we should or should not be wearing masks. And I'm going to deal with some medical philosophies on that. Thank you, Shirley. I see Shirley is here for joining me. I want to deal with the medical aspect of it or some medical philosophies on it, but if you pay attention to when they are doing these marches, they are in complete defiance of the safety precautions that they have given all of us to wear the mask, to stay 6 feet apart, all of those types of things. And so that is the issue that I want to address, because the two biggest issues of debate right now as it relates to COVID-19 is, one, the testing. That's one. That's the big issue of debate medically and socially. And of course, you know, economically. And the other part is the math. So now let me say this about the testing. When you get, and hopefully everybody is speaking out to be tested for the virus, but you know, if not, but if you do, rather, and if you do, you know, I want people to understand that there are two different tests that are available. Now, I know here in the city of Detroit, they are offering free tests at the state fairgrounds, I believe it's just the swab test, where they go in the nose and swab, but they have to go back past the membrane. So it is a horrible test. I had it. They had to keep doing mine over because I kept grabbing the nurse's hand. But it is not pleasant. But they also do a blood test. And so between those two tests, the swab test only tells you whether or not the virus is active or you're infectious at that point of the testing. The blood work will also tell you if you have the antibody, not only if the test is active, if the virus is active in your body, it will also tell you if you have the antibodies for the virus. And if you have the antibodies, that means that you have had it, and either the virus is still active where you are currently contagious at that moment, or if you if it's active or if it's not active where you're no longer contagious. But if you are positive, if you test positive through the blood work for the antibodies, that means you have already had the coronavirus, and it could either continue to be contagious or not. And if they suspect that you are still contagious, then they would likely have you come back and retest to investigate that further. You know, because the asymptomatic people are the most dangerous ones, because they are the carriers and don't know it, and maybe a little bit more lax in protecting themselves and protecting other people, causing the spread. So the big, you know, the big debate with the test is that we need mass testing. I believe the goal in Michigan, and we're only talking about Michigan here this month, was to test 450,000 people, but it's 10 million people in the state. So that's not, you know, it's still scatterbrained brain test. We still don't know who has it and who doesn't, people. I mean, when we're out and in the public and all of those things, we need to know, we need to be, you know, aware of where they are with those tests, because that is going to keep us on our toes, not become lax, not start, you know, don't start going out without masks and gloves. You just have to watch the cross-contamination with the gloves, but other than that, we need to have on our protective gear at all times, because we still have only put, not even put a dent in our testing. So the mask testing is one issue. And again, the other tissue is the mask. So the question of whether or not we should or should not be wearing masks, and I want to start here with before I believe would lead us to the discussion about the mask, is that we have to deal with the vaccine issue, and that's a whole another subject matter. But I will say this: the vaccine. And what we have to understand is that if the virus or any virus or pathogen or disease is to enter our bodies, it has to go through the ear, nose, throat, eyes, nose, and mouth. And the issue is that we have a natural automatic mechanism for protecting us from airborne pathogens and disease, and that is the tonsils, okay? I want to stop for a second because Shirley is making a comment. Hold on. Let me take down this phone number so it's not in the way. Let's take down the phone number real quick. So Shirley is saying asymptomatic people can be very dangerous, and that's true. They are the carriers. That is actually, I'll get that back on the screen. That is actually who we have to worry about are the people who have no symptoms at all. I can tell you a member of my household had tested positive for the virus, and there was absolutely no symptoms. Maybe a little cough for a couple of days or something. But that's about it. And then Shirley is also saying that she believes that we should wear a mask. I do too. But I want to look at a couple of theories about the mask and then see if we can come to not so much a different conclusion, but a better conclusion as to what we should and should not be doing, or when we should and should be doing it. Because if you remember, in the beginning, they were encouraging people who did not have symptoms to wear. They were telling people, if you don't have symptoms, do not wear masks. Because the issue came up because the people were going in the stores buying up all the masks, buying up all the toilet paper and all of that stuff, and they said that if you're wearing masks and you don't have symptoms, you don't need them, and you're keeping them from people that actually will need the mask. So they did say that in the beginning, and then it changed, but they do have medical reasons why they changed it and said everybody needs to wear a mask, because it protects me. Wearing a mask protects you, and you wearing a mask protects me. And that is very true, and we're going to talk about that. So where was I at? We were talking about vaccines. So before I start delving into the mask issue, or to segue us into that, I want to talk about the vaccine, because, we have a natural system of protecting us from infection, disease, and air pathogens, and that is the tonsils. And viruses have to enter the body. Anything from the outside environment that wants to enter the body has to go through the eyes, the nose, and the mouth. And so when we talk about the throat, you know, that's where the tonsils are. And the throat has the thickest lining in the whole digestive system. And it's designed to protect all the openings in the head, the ears, the eyes, the nose, the mouth. That's what it's designed to do. Well, more specifically, the tonsils. And that's where the tonsils are in the throat. So that's why we talk about the throat. So when you're talking about, well, one side of it is the vaccines, because, you know, they're, you know, giving us the, we know they're giving us the disease in order to immune us to the disease. And so there's a whole issue about that. But besides that, when you start talking about wearing masks and things like that, some doctors, some scientists theorize that we are creating a viral overload that is causing us to get sick rather than protecting us from getting sick. They call it a cytokine storm that they believe that the masks are creating. And we have to look at what masks were designed for. Masks were designed to maintain the sterilization of a surgical field, meaning doctors don't wear masks to protect themselves from patients. Doctors wear masks to maintain sterilization in case they cough or sneeze or spit, and protect the patient primarily. And so, but what is happening is that the masks are creating a situation where we become automatically immunodeficient. And it's done by stress, because when you have the mask on, and I've had this experience, when you have those masks on, especially those N95s, I can't wear those N95s. I can't breathe in them. So now I do have some breathable masks that are fairly comfortable. They hurt, the little straps hurt my ears, but, you know, I can breathe. But then there's the question of whether or not those are actually protecting us, and I'll get back to that. So, what is happening is what causes us to go into immuno and almost an automatic immunodeficient state, the stress that it causes when you have the mask on and you cannot breathe, your oxygen levels are rapidly dropped, and that it activates your stress response, or your fight or flight response. And we know what happens when that stress response happens in the body. The brain releases cortisol, the heart overproduces adrenaline and all of those things, and it puts you in a state of distress. In fact, I was looking at an article yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, where a gentleman died. He couldn't breathe. He had the mask on. It put him in such a distress so quickly, couldn't even get the mask back off, and he expired. So, and, you know, I didn't check the source or anything like that. It was just something that I was looking at. But I can see how that happens, because, like I said, again, that surgical grade mask, those N95s that they use in the hospital, that is the hot commodity now that everybody's trying to get their hands on. I have them. I cannot wear them. But what happens is that the mask, the breathable mask that I have, I end up having to change them about every 20 to 30 minutes. And the reason why is because I was talking to a nurse, and she said to me that those masks only protect you for a few minutes. You have to continue to change them. So when people buy a mask and they wear it out and all of that stuff, that mask is contaminated. It's disposable. It's not meant to, you know, I saw a video on YouTube where a guy was teaching people how to disinfect disposable masks. And I'm, you know, so I, you know, I'm not going to do that. You know, I take a towel or something and wrap it around my head before I do that. those masks are disposable. They are designed to be thrown away. The issue is how long are they effective? And from the information that I'm gathering, the nurse is telling me that they are only effective about 20 minutes at a time, and then they have to be discarded. So, but at any rate, the thought process or the idea or this particular ideology is saying that when we get into distress, we have on these masks, we can't breathe, or it aggravates the pulmonary system and puts us in respiratory distress and all of those types of things, then we automatically, our immune system is automatically compromised and makes us more, even more susceptible to whatever's disease or if that's in the air and all of those types of things. And so we have to explore those types of things. Even with even with the vaccine, you know, them giving you the disease to immune you to the disease. Let me see. Is a valid concern, and I'm just trying to take a look at my notes here. And that's a particular, and it's particularly dangerous for children with those vaccines. Now, I know that vaccines have saved a lot of lives. We've had smallpox and all kinds of things that have happened throughout history that those vaccines have saved a lot of lives. But the problem is how they are, what they are doing now to make those vaccines. My particular concern with the vaccine now is that they have somewhere like 60 some odd tests that are going through rapid approval for home tests, meaning that they're going to try to get tests as quickly as possible to the market where we can test ourselves at home. We don't have to go to the doctor and all of that. Like with HIV, those people now have home tests. They don't have to go to the doctor to find out if they have HIV. They can do those tests themselves, self-administered tests. So they're trying to do those, which is great. And it's about 60-some-odd tests that are going through the process now. But they have about another 120-some-odd trials going through the rapid approval process where they are bypassing animal testing. So now that is something that we don't do in America. We don't test vaccines on humans. It is unlawful, and it is not only unethical, it is illegal. And so the fact that they are developing to, in order to mass produce and get something to the populace as quick as possible, they are literally bypassing animal testing to get something out. And, you know, the thing of it is that from some of the doctors that were formerly with the NIH and WHO and all of those things, they're saying that the initial test may be voluntary, but the next round of tests will be mandatory. And so it may come down to a point where we don't have a choice. We may be required and made to take those vaccines. So we're going to look at that some more a little bit later. But at any rate, when you start dealing with the immune system and the vaccines and all of that stuff, you have to look at children because their immune systems are not even fully developed yet. And so it is particularly dangerous for them. So we're going to have to kind of look into those vaccines as well and keep track as much as possible as what they're doing with those, because they're only sharing so much information with the public. One, they don't know a lot about this disease, and its various mutations or strands that they keep coming across. They got the Kawasaki thing hitting the children now with these rashes and attacking their organs and all of that stuff. That wasn't in the original strand. So how this thing is mutating and all of that stuff, we don't even know. I don't know, and I don't believe they know either. And so besides what they don't know, a lot of what they do know, they're not even allowing their silencing people, the doctors and the scientists, they won't even allow them to talk to the public. They are literally putting people in jail to keep them from releasing information to the public. It could be good, it could be bad, because they could create mass hysteria and all of that stuff, but it concerns me. Because I like to know what's really going on. I feel like I have a better chance if I know the whole story. But that's me personally, and I know that doesn't, you know, that's not how it is with everybody. I just want to make sure that I am. So this is the issue. The issue with the math, we have to figure out, again, whether we should or should not be wearing masks and who should or should not be wearing masks. I brought up the protest because I noticed that these people seem to not care about walking around unprotected and all gathered in those large closed crowds like that. That was the first thing that brought it to my attention. I took a client to the doctor. And none of the staff, now they have the hand thermometers to take your temperature. I believe that if your temperature is above 97 or 98, they won't let you in some facilities now. But they had the people taking our temperatures when we came into the doctor's office. But when we got in there, none of the staff had a mask. I mean, not the doctor, not the receptionist, not the nursing aide. Nobody had a mask. And I just find that very odd. I find that very odd and very concerning, because why, you know, even if you don't have underlying conditions and things like that, why would anybody be comfortable in a pandemic and walking around totally unprotected while they tell the rest of us don't leave the house without them? So I think that this is a valid concern, and I think that we need to explore and continue to evaluate and reevaluate this subject matter. We need to talk to our doctors. Again, as I said in the beginning, you know, talk to your doctors. Do the due process. Find out what is medically sound. Not only that, find out what your doctors philosophy is on certain things, because doctors have a certain amount of autonomy and discretion in how they practice medicine. They have their own brand of practicing medicine, and this is very serious. It's not something that we should look past or look over. It's very serious, and it's very important that we educate ourselves. Remember that the tonsils protect, that is our natural protection because of the thick lining of the throat. The throat has the thickest skin in the digestive tract. So, and that's where our tonsils are. And that is a natural protection mechanism from anything in the environment that tries to enter the body through the ear, nose, eyes, and throat. All your holes in your head are protected by your tonsils. And so we don't want to create that quote-unquote cytokine storm. We don't want the viral overload and activate the virus by breathing through the mask that initiates our stretch response. That's basically it. I mean, and the thing about it is that if you go and you read and you look at those things, it makes total sense. That doesn't mean that is the right thing to do. Because I personally don't go outside with wearing masks. I'm in my backyard letting my dog play around. I wear my mask because I believe that the virus is airborne. And if it's not, then, you know, better safe than sorry. But I personally think it's airborne. I don't go outside without a mask, period. However, I don't want my body and I don't want to be in respiratory distress either. I don't want to drive this viral overload that can cause me to get sick and make me susceptible to the disease when I'm out in public. So these are things that we need to talk about. Ask your doctors, consult with them, make good decisions to keep yourself safe. That is what this is all about. I don't know. I think that we're going to cut it short today. I'll probably come back and do another part because, like I said, I'm still reading and researching and trying to figure out what the best thing is, because I do not believe that we are getting all of the information that we should have from government or doctors or anybody at this point. So this is something that I am looking into and I will continue to look into. I encourage you to go and, again, take a look at the I'll put that back on the screen. The six-phase safe reopen plan that Governor Whitmer released, because this is how she's doing things. I think the lady is doing her job. She's trying to preserve life. She ain't asking nobody's permission to do it. She's doing her job. And we have to remember the last governor we had tried to poison the whole community. Poison the whole city, and then now we have coronavirus on top of lead poisoning and Legionnaires' disease and all of that stuff up in Flint. So listen, this is nothing to play with, guys. We need to just be safe. Be safe. Try to get the information in as much as you can. And make decisions as best as possible, educated decisions, and not things that this social media stuff that'll have us all confused and put us in harm's way. So I appreciate it. Thank you, Shirley, for joining me. Shirley, I missed about 11 people this morning that logged in, but I'll be on at 10 o'clock next Sunday for sure, God willing. I wanted to put up her comment. This is valuable. I appreciate Gretchen Whitmer. Yeah, I think Governor Whitmer is doing her job. They can say what they want to say about her. The last governor we had just tried to kill people, a bunch of people, just tried to take them out the game, wipe them out, you know. So, I don't know what they want. I don't know what people want. It's crazy. Civil liberties, our personal freedoms cannot infringe on the next person. That's not how that thing is set up. We think we can just be free and do what we want to do. That's not how freedom works. It is not. Y'all need to go back and read it. Read the Constitution. If you can decipher it, you need a lawyer to read it for you. But that is not how freedom works. You can't endanger me to do what you want to do. If we could all do what we want to do, We don't have society. We don't have a civil society anymore. So, is that Gloria Duff? Oh my God, Minister Gloria. Wait a minute. Oh my God. Gloria, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Call that call-in number, Gloria. You can call me live right now. Oh, wow. Gloria. Hi, Nikki. Thank you for coming. Where did I put it? Oh, I'm getting ready to give you the call-in number. I'm going to take one call, y'all, from Minister Gloria and see if we can have a conversation. That's the call-in number because I want to be able to talk to you, Gloria. Does anybody have any questions or anything like that or comments? I want to hear your opinion. Shirley is saying that she believes that we ought to wear masks. Yeah, I agree. I'm definitely not gonna stop wearing them. Not yet. Thank you, Nikki. And it's a work in progress. The information that I'm sharing is a work in progress, and I want people to talk to their doctors. And find out, you know, take the information and find out what is sound medical practice and what their particular philosophies are as it relates to, because not only do they know your particular case, they're going to know how they practice and do what they do. Every doctor has autonomy. They have discretion in how they practice medicine. There's someone that says they have a question. You can call the call-in number. It's on the screen, 515-605-9778. I'm going to put it up on the screen, Nikki. She's saying, it's hard to breathe for me, but I do give myself a breather and put it back on. Yeah, I just about went into an anxiety attack with those N95 masks, Nikki. But she said she's not leaving the house without it. I know. I'm not either. I'm not ready to take it off. I don't feel comfortable in taking it off. I just think that we should have as much information, because we got to figure this thing out, guys, because there's a lot that they just don't know about this disease, and a lot of what they do know, they are keeping from the public. So, Gloria, I don't see you, and they are keeping a lot of information from the public as well. I believe that wholeheartedly. So, yeah, I'm not ready to take my mask off. But I do see how they how things have continued to change. Okay, I think that's her calling. At first, in the beginning, they were telling people who did not have symptoms not to even wear the mask. Y'all remember that? Does anybody remember when they were saying that? Okay, the gentleman. Again, the call-in number. Let me give you the call-in number. It's 515-605-9777. You do remember, Nikki, when they were saying that? Yeah. They were telling people that it's not to win them. Yeah, Shirley remembers too. Yeah. They were telling people without symptoms, don't even wear them. You don't need them. Then they switched and said, you got to have the N95. So everybody started scrambling to get the surgical grade mask. Then they said, oh, you don't need it. You can just use a scarf and tie it around your head. I mean, it's just crazy. You don't know what to think. You don't know what to think. Gloria, okay, I tell you what, Gloria, because I'm going to go ahead and close it out. Go ahead and send a message through my messenger. Send a message through my messenger because I don't want, and I'll put my phone number in there. Okay. So, but anyway, that's it for today. I had to kind of rush and get my thoughts together, and I'll piece it together probably next week and expound on it some more and be a little bit more organized and things like that. But I appreciate everybody that came back. I missed quite a few folks this morning. I hate that. But hopefully we can get them back next week. And I appreciate you joining me today. Everybody take care. Everybody couldn't get through when I called. Okay. Okay. Well, that's okay. Gloria, send a message through my Facebook Messenger. And then maybe we'll take calls next week. I've been having technical difficulties all day though, so I may have something set up wrong. Okay, the gentleman is saying add him. Okay, I will. I'll go back in when this is over and add. But anyway, thanks a lot, and definitely, guys, just let's figure this thing out and share information as much as we can. Again, go to, there are resources for testing and all of that stuff. I know, Horace Sheffield, he's doing both tests at his church or his community center is what it is. He's doing the swab test and the antibody test. And there's resources all over the city. If you go to Detroit.gov, Detroit, Michigan, DetroitMI.gov, I think is what it is. You can get information because I know the test that the city of Detroit is doing at the state fairgrounds. They require you to have a doctor's prescription. Horace Sheffield just says walk in the door. I think he's taking appointments, but he's also taking walk-ins. You don't have to have a prescription or anything. There's other financial resources for businesses. If you are in business and things like that, even self-employed people have access to the PPP program, the payroll protection program. So I have a lot of resources to share. Just got to have time to put them up on the site. So anyway, thank you guys and take care. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and be safe. See you next week.